In the churches that I served in July, we always sang Joy to the World. And the first time I ever did it in each of my churches, they thought I'd made a mistake and didn't exactly know that it was July and not December. But I brought to their attention that Joy to the World was not written primarily as a Christmas carol. And in fact, apparently, Isaac Watts wrote this as part of a series of poems. And what is Joy to the World was part of his thinking about Psalm 98. And really, it speaks more of the second coming than the first coming. So I just always like to interject a little bit of whimsy or quizzicalness or something. Maybe they thought I was kind of, I don't know what they thought anyway. They also thought the same thing when I served in a church and we had our first Maundy Thursday service. And they thought I had misspelled Monday and didn't know why we were having it on Thursday. So, let's begin with prayer again. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for coming, and thank you for the joy that we have because of your indwelling with your Holy Spirit through our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture for tonight is, of course, Matthew chapter 28. Please turn there with me. When you think of missions, you think of the Great Commission. That's found in chapter 28. And I'll read verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the Great Commission that was given to the disciples and by extension given to us as well. And we find in the book of Acts a story of the obedience to carrying out this commission or the marching orders that all of God's people have. And we do the same today. During the reading and during the reading or the during the time of Acts, we have the carrying out of the Great Commission. The gospel is being shared, and as churches are being established. Now, some of us are going to Israel in about 4 weeks, and we've been getting some instruction on the geography. And as we've been looking at maps from the satellites and so forth, we found out that this little area called Israel is about the size of New Jersey. And when you see where it's placed, it is a very, very important part of this part of the world. In fact, all of the conquests, all the trade went through this area. So it might be in the minds of those that got saved that the world will come to us. And so they had a hard time understanding that they were to go to the world. And it took persecution to take them to the other parts, most parts of the world. And you know what? We have the same command for us today. Now, our world has changed different. I'm the ripe old age of 76. And I've seen a lot of changes. In fact, when I say particular phrases, sometimes it goes right over the head of people because I date myself. But the world has changed for us, but it also had changed a great deal compared to when the Great Commission was first issued. But some things never change, and we as people still need the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Looking at our mission prayer booklet, and I'm wondering how many of y'all got one as you came in today? Good, good. You'll find that even though the world has changed a great deal, the good news is still the same. And as you look through, I hope you will maybe have time to thumb through. The majority of the people were in the last one as well. So you're probably familiar with their names, but we've been working very hard to get updates for everybody. So as you look through these booklets, you'll find that there are a wide variety of ways in which CPC, Covenant Presbyterian Church, seeks to support people that have a variety of ways of obeying the Great Commission. There are a number of the people in this booklet who have come from our church or have had connections with our church. And I think this is a wonderful reflection on our church. I know that Marlene and I have always tried to gravitate toward churches that are strong on foreign missions or missions in general. Now, recently, Joe and Meg Garrison were able to visit their daughter and son-in-law serving in Narnia. Now, when I gave the announcement a couple of weeks ago about the fact that they were serving in Narnia, some people thought that I had misstated something. And we use the word Narnia because we don't want to mention the country in which they serve for security reasons. So they chose that name. I thought it was a great name, and so I'd like to ask Joe if he would like to. I didn't know whether Meg, did you want to say something? Okay. Joe, if you'd like to come and tell us a little bit about your trip recently, and also bring us up to date with the tease that you gave us 3 weeks ago.
Thanks, Joe. I'm glad it worked out for y'all to come and to be here and let us know about your trip to Narnia. As I've been reading the prayer booklets over the years, I have noticed that missionaries start learning a new language in many cases, and by establishing relationships within their circle of influence, it takes a while. It takes a while to build trust and really earn the right to be heard. It is a slow process, and it can be very, very discouraging. It makes up a significant part of the prayer requests that our missionaries give us. They deal with very ordinary situations, and they are looking, taking care of housing, schooling for their children, and all kinds of entry and exit documents from their country. And they can be very, very discouraged. So we need to pray that they would be encouraged and the Lord would give them glimmers each day that the Lord is using them in the lives of those people that they are with. Whether they are planting churches or teaching or providing medical or physical services, they are all looking for ways to spread the gospel. Sometimes ministries need to refocus and get back to the spiritual reason why they are out there. But it's difficult to really present the gospel in a meaningful way if a person's stomach is churning. And so there are ministries that start out in a way of helping feed the poor, and that's wonderful, but sometimes they forget that they're there to spread the spiritual food of the good news of salvation. The same process of establishing one-on-one relationships is a factor in the campus ministries that we support. Our RUF missionaries are encouraged to make a particular number of connections each week. As I was reading a very recent issue of Voice of the Martyrs, I was struck by the faithfulness of two individuals in the country of Bangladesh. They heard the gospel, they responded in saving faith, and they quickly began telling those around them about the good news of salvation. One became a pastor and has had a number of years of gospel ministry. One was a former imam. You can imagine what he went through when he came to know the Lord. And another woman had committed her life to helping those in the slums know about Jesus. Each of them have been threatened and have gone under an awful lot of persecution. But they continually count it all joy to serve the Lord. If you saw my notes, I've got a great big W-O-W exclamation point. Doesn't that sound like something from the Bible when Paul talked about it being all counted in all joy? Amen. As I take this one step closer, doesn't the Great Commission apply to each of us who are believers? Remember, I read the passage from Matthew 28, and I said this was the Great Commission that Jesus gave to his disciples and by extension to us. It's not always easy to develop relationships with your neighbors and those we are with on a routine basis. I remember the question that my son asked me on my 75th birthday. In case you forgot what I said last year, he was wondering about my funeral arrangements. It was a good question to ask someone my age. I just wasn't expecting it on my birthday. But you know what? It made me think. Will I be remembered as a follower of Jesus, and how obedient and faithful have I been to the Great Commission? Maybe this is heavy on my heart since two very good friends of mine have recently died. One was buried yesterday. The good news is that both of them knew the Lord, so I know where they are today. But I live in a community, and I've said this a number of times, in which it is a good day when the fire truck and the aid car don't come. Many of my neighbors are facing eternity much sooner than the average neighborhood that many of you perhaps live in. Friday morning, as I was going to work, this was at 6 o'clock in the morning, there was a... Whenever the fire truck comes, they always turn the sirens off when they get to our gate, for which we're very thankful. But the rotating lights are hard to miss. So as my garage door was going up, I saw the lights coming down the street rather slowly. And at first, I wasn't sure whether the truck was coming or going, because they go rather slow. It stopped on the next street. I was thinking that we live on 222nd Place, and the street in front of us is 222nd Avenue, and maybe the fire truck was not disoriented, because they come to our neighborhood often, but I noticed that they were down the street and up a little bit. And I don't know where a number of the people that in my neighborhood are going to spend eternity. Also, as I was going to work, I was listening to my Pandora site, and Steve Green was singing the song, Find Us Faithful. It really was a blessing and also a challenge. Listen as I read the words. You don't want me to sing. We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us. The heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. I thought it was very, very fitting that the Lord had that
on my my car radio. Well, they're not radios now, are they? They're not CD players either. I don't know what they are. Anyway, it was wonderful that I was able to listen to this song. It just really lifted my spirits and also challenged me in light of the questions that my son asked me when I turned 75. But I think that the Great Commission is for everybody. And we need to ask ourselves, how are we going to be remembered? We all have circles of influence, and we need to ask ourselves, yes, when we're gone, how will we be remembered? And that, the reason that, whatever they think about us, will they lead them to think about the love that we have as believers in the Lord? In BSF this year, we are studying the divided kingdom and the prophets. There were no good kings in Israel, as we all know. And Judah had a few good ones, but they were not all that consistent, were they? Most of their epitaphs didn't show that they obeyed the Lord. The northern kingdom's deliverance into Assyrian exile occurred during Isaiah's ministry. And Isaiah foretold of Judah's coming Babylonian captivity. It's like Isaiah is on the precipice of a hill, standing and viewing the gathering clouds of difficulty. He saw what was coming to his nation, and he was sad. Now, Marlene and I do not have TV service. I say that this way because when we go to Costco, as you enter a lot of the Costcos, the big TVs are there. And you'll be approached by somebody telling us about the latest deals that the television manufacturers have. And I don't go by that as slowly as I might used to, because I would look at them and say, well, Will, we don't have TV. And they would look at me like I was from another planet. Now, we do have TV, and we do have access to DVDs and all kinds of things, but we don't have TV service. If there's another way to talk about what we don't have, let me know, but that's why I've described it that way. But even though we don't have TV service, I do know generally what's happening in our country, and it saddens me. It really does. Christ's second coming seems like it's getting much closer and closer and closer. And I think as you are my age or getting close to my age, or maybe you're beyond my age, I think you're probably sensing that as well. These are just some thoughts. The Great Commission applies to us as much as it did to each of these people that responded that are in our prayer booklet. And I believe the time is short. And I think tonight we need to focus on earnestly praying for them, thanking the Lord that they have seen the call and are where they are, and look inside of us and ask ourselves how faithful we have been in responding to the Great Commission. I believe that the committee has come up with some slips of paper. And as those are, how many?
4 to 8 groups.
Okay, let's divide up. I'll pray and then we'll divide up. But we've divided the missionaries that are in our booklet in groups, and we'd like you all to have a time to just thumb through these. Some of these people are very familiar to y'all, and we have some updates. But let's pray intelligently for these people. The situation that Joe and Meg experienced are very typical. Our missionaries are like us. They've seen the call. They're in foreign countries. They have times of loneliness. They have times of disappointment. They're concerned if they have children about their children's education. They're concerned about their housing. They're concerned about having enough money. Sometimes you'll find in their prayer requests they're needing to increase their support. So these are very ordinary things that a mom and dad would be thinking about even in America. So let's pray diligently for them and also ask ourselves, how faithful have we been in taking the Great Commission into our sphere of influence? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather and to be your people before the throne of grace. As we divide up and as we pray for these missionaries, may the missionaries really sense that we care as a congregation and that you will find them faithful and give them fruit for their labors. In Jesus' name, amen.